What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Dan Henniger, the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, looking at Capitol Hill, where there are two large pieces of legislation before the members of Congress. The debate continues. However, we're going to speak to these two large pieces. One, infrastructure. Two, for want of a collective term, I'm going to say the Biden agenda. The infrastructure is lauded by both parties, by everyone looking at it. It's called generally infrastructure. Dan, a very good evening to you. Your measure at the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal for some time has been to recommend infrastructure. And by I mean some time, I mean decades. Are we right now at the edge of actually getting it done? Good evening to you, Dan.
Hi there, John. Well, that remains to be seen because well, shall I put it this way? The progressives in the House of Representatives are holding infrastructure hostage to infrastructure. All right, let's try to explain that. Infrastructure, until this year, was understood by most people to mean roads, bridges, tunnels, railroads, broadband, and the rest of it, simply known as infrastructure. But now we've made a distinction between physical infrastructure, which is that stuff, and human infrastructure, which is pretty much everything else in the whole wide world. Childcare, elder care, pre-K, the environment, electrical cars, charging stations, all the rest of this is human infrastructure. And the progressives are insisting that they won't vote for physical infrastructure unless the Congress agrees to pay about four times as much for human infrastructure. The result is that the real infrastructure that most of us understand sits there, as it has, John, for quite a long time now, decades. Broken bridges, potholed streets, and the likelihood is that that, once again, is not going to get attended to because the progressives have decided they want everything in the whole wide world paid for this year.
You mentioned two very famous 20th century congressmen, Henry Waxman and John Dingell, who in their time were progressives. We called them liberals back in the 20th century. Their approach to anything like infrastructure or these other pieces of human infrastructure was to go, as you identify, incremental change. What happened to that? It would always work, Dan. Where did it go?
Well, it has gone out the window with the modern left rising to power in the Democratic Party. They don't do things incrementally. Congressman Henry Waxman and John Dingell understood if they wanted to make fixes to Medicaid or Medicare, you did it as a bargaining chip inside legislation that the other side really needed. And Congress being what it is, you did deals. And so they incrementally made those entitlements larger and larger year after year. But this current generation, as Nancy Pelosi herself said in her press conference on Thursday, we're doing transformative, not incremental. And Mrs. Pelosi was quite explicit about rejecting the piece-by-piece legislative approach that they had tried years ago, and that they were going to do this all at once. And, you know, the question that gets raised by that is, where is their mandate to do all of this transformative legislation all at one time? You know, a 50-50 Senate, a very small majority in the House. And now you have many Democratic House members extremely, extremely nervous about the prospect of voting for something so, quote unquote, transformative when there is not a mandate inside their own constituencies.
The puzzle then, what is to be done? Not just to win a vote, but also to go for a situation where everybody can work together. The Republicans approve of infrastructure. That's a good starting place, isn't it, Dan, for these parties to work together? The Republicans in the Senate have already approved their part of the infrastructure bill. Is that objectionable, Dan, to roads and infrastructure and internet and public utilities? Does anybody actually oppose it?
Well, no, I don't think anybody consciously opposes that, for sure. But the problem is that, I guess the biggest problem here is that they paired these two bills. I mean, one was originally $1.5 trillion. Now it's down to about $1 trillion. There's negotiation over whether the Biden agenda, Build Back Better, is going to be $5 trillion, $3.5 trillion, or $1.5 trillion. It's not clear, but the left, including Nancy Pelosi, have decided that they have this very narrow window to do both. And the progressives in the House have decided that the Build Back Better bill with the four new entitlements in it is indeed more important to them than rebuilding the roads, the bridges, and the physical infrastructure. This is a political decision that the progressives have made. They're not going to vote for that physical infrastructure if they don't get the rest of it. And there you have a standoff. And, you know, the thing about this standoff, John, is that the way it has turned out the last week, it has become such a mess. It is so highly publicized that more and more of the American public are being exposed to the issues and the numbers involved here, I think, in a way that they were not prior to this week. And that almost certainly this is going to have a negative impact on the Democratic Party as the American people look at another spectacle of seeming incompetence. This on top of the Kabul evacuation, the mess at the border, and now a Congress, a democratically controlled Congress that simply doesn't work.
You mentioned Kabul and you mentioned the border. I puzzle, Dan, whether the rush for these two pieces of legislation, they're large, they have many moving parts, it's a national dialogue that's underway right now. Is this rush because of the disenchantment with the Biden administration over Afghanistan and over Texas, the Texas-Mexican border, Del Rio? Does that influence this decision to push it?
Yeah, I think it influences both the decision to push it as well as the problem that they're having pushing it across the finish line. What has happened here in the first year of the Biden presidency are these two failures of competence we just mentioned, and the president's approval ratings are simply going south. Among independent voters especially, they're falling below 40%. Anytime an approval rating gets below 40%, the members of a political party get really nervous. And I think the left is nervous that they've got to get this legislation done now because the window is closing, yet the moderate, so-called moderate Democrats in swing districts all across the country, many of whom, incidentally, freshman Democrats lost their seats to Republicans in the last election, they're getting very nervous that they're being asked to vote for something that is going to put them out of office in the midterms next year. So that's almost the definition of gridlock, John, and it is indeed tied to President Biden's performance in his first year in office.
Last 30 seconds, Dan. It's a year till the midterms. There is time to recover. The Republicans are not right to relax here, Dan. Everybody has to keep talking. Correct? Do I understand that? A year is a long time.
Yeah, they'll keep talking. The Republicans are certainly sitting on the sideline, keeping their heads down. They seem to do best when they keep their heads down, ironically enough. I don't know whether the Democrats are going to come back and try to resurrect this. If they were smart, they would try to do it, shall we say, incrementally.
Right.
And they may be forced to do that in the future.
Listen to their seniors, Henry Waxman and John Dingell of the 20th century. This is Dan Henniger, deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, writing his column Wonderland. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.